That was awesome. If you would open your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. As Pastor mentioned this morning, I would like to thank everyone that helped out with Alien Invasion last night. I know there were some questioning expectations as to what was going to happen in that youth activity, and I wish we could have brought you all through the entire building to see what it looked like, but it was so much fun. That was my favorite activity I've ever been a part of, and I just want to say a special thank you to all those that helped set up and take down and put some interesting makeup and costumes on. It was quite fun. If you would, Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 13, let's stand as we read. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much for the opportunity as a youth group we have to take a part in this evening service, Lord, and for all the hearts of these young people, and their willingness to serve and willingness to be used. And I pray that as they grow up and as they leave this youth group, that would continue to resonate in their hearts. And Lord, I pray that as your word is brought forth tonight, that it would not be my words that resonate in the hearts of these people, Lord, but it would be yours. And as Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I also would like to take a special moment and say thank you to all the parents that have allowed me to work with your youth. I love them to death. When I was 13, I was called into full-time Christian service. I was at a camp up in Midwestern Wisconsin called Camp Shatek, and it wasn't a fancy service. It wasn't a hellfire and brimstone service, but I just felt this still small voice speak in my heart, and that was when I knew that God had called me to full-time Christian service. When I went to West Coast, I really didn't know what direction God was leading me in as far as the ministry was concerned. I just knew that that was the direction He wanted me to go, and as I gained some friends and was able to work in the ministry there, it became quickly affirmed to me that I want to work with youth the rest of my life. I've got a crazy side, if many of you don't may or may not know me, but I've got a little bit of a crazy side, as your teenagers can attest, and we have a great time at all the youth activities and in Sunday school. Sometimes they look at you a little weird, but that's all right. I'm okay with that, and I just would really like to thank you as parents for the opportunity I have to work with your teenagers. As I was studying for the message after Pastor Potter asked me, the group name of our youth group is the CIA group, Christians in Action. So I went to my Bible concordance, the Strong's Concordance, opened up, and I looked for CIA in there, and I didn't find anything. And I looked for youth group, and there's some correlations, but youth group wasn't in there. And I was doing my devotions, and I came across Matthew 5, 13 through 16. And it blew my mind. You know, this is a perfect example of what our goal for our youth group is. Our goal as Christians in Action is to be a light and a salt to the world around us. The setting in which our passage takes place is right in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has gone through what we know now as the Beatitudes, and He has spent time telling the Christians in that day what they needed to do to earn their reward in heaven. Different things that they needed to focus on in their own lives that would give them a reward in heaven. We're supposed to have our mind on heavenly things and not earthly things. So He breaks down and gives us, I believe, 9 different circumstances in which a Christian receives blessings for following Christ's example. He mentions meekness, mercy, purity, persecution, and many other things. Weeks, in fact, months could be spent on working through the Beatitudes and expounding the treasures in verses 3 through 11, but we're going to focus on verses 13 through 16. Even after spending a good portion of time and going into quite a bit of detail, Christ still gives us illustrations of serving as a Christian. From this passage, we are going to see two examples of what it means to be a true CIA agent. The first illustration Christ gives us is that of an ineffective agent. In verse number 13, we find, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under the foot of men." We skip to verse 15. "Neither do men light a candle, but put it under a bushel." Christ didn't go over the benefits and usefulness of salt. There are many benefits and usefulness of salt, and I just thought I would randomly pop that into Google and look up some of the uses of salt, and here are some of the forms I found. One of the oldest forms is as a form of trade and currency. They actually purchased stuff with salt tablets. I had no idea. I've gone through many history classes, and I can imagine paying with those salt tablets. We pop them in our mouths. I don't know if any of you run either half marathons or marathons, but you'll carry salt tablets in your pocket to keep your salt content up, and they paid with that. In Syracuse, New York, Syracuse is known as Salt City because of its salt production and transportation of salt. It's used for medicinal purposes. It heals wounds. It gets rid of bacteria. Who in here likes beef jerky? I love beef jerky. Some good beef jerky. And one of the key ingredients in making beef jerky is salt because it's a preservative. Up here in winter country, salt is used to salt the roads and corrode the bottom of our cars. There are many uses of salt, but what Christ focuses on here is the flavoring of food. As Christians, we have been told that we are the salt of the earth. We spread the gospel to the world around us. There should be a difference between us and the person next to us. There should be a difference between us as a Christian, and in our area focus in the youth group, we remind our teenagers constantly that when you go about day to day, even in school, in a Christian school setting, we should strike out. If we have Christ in our hearts, there should be a difference. We should have a different taste about us. They should be able to spot us out, not necessarily by the clothes we wear. We don't need to stick out like a sore thumb like many of us would have last night at the youth activity, but just in our attitudes, in our speech, they should be able to identify us. There should be something different between us and the person standing next to us in, let's say, a sacred food place like Chick-fil-A. I love me some Chick-fil-A. But while you're standing in line for food, talking with the cashier, they should see a difference in you. If they can't, we have become, as this passage tells us, good for nothing and useless as a Christian. There's no benefit to our lives if we are not being an example for Christ. He also uses the example of a light put under a bushel. Mr. Harney, if you wouldn't mind hitting the lights quick. There we go. We got a lit. So here we have a new kind of candlestick, but a lamp. I'll come down here a little bit. With the lights on, and we'll find out in just a minute, this would be just another light. But when it's dark, our eyes and our brains are trained to focus immediately on this. In a church setting, you can go ahead and hit the lights, Mr. Honey. In a church setting, this serves a benefit. It helps light the room, but it doesn't stand out per se. But the second we step out into the world, there should be an identifiable difference. If we were to come here last night, and I keep bringing up the youth group, it was so much fun, but come here last night, many of the lights were shut off and the kids were tripping over stuff. They were making their way, bumping through the hallways. They could have used one of these, but there should be an identifiable difference. When we are making our way through the world in our day-to-day mundane tasks, there should be a difference. Just as salt is useless without its flavor, a light covered up is useless. There's no purpose to it. When we choose to remain quiet when we have an opportunity to stand up for Christ, when we blend in with the world, our speech, our attitudes, and treatment of others, when we let sin remain in our lives without dealing with it biblically, and even when we deny our faith altogether, as a Christian, our lives become useless. Now, Christ doesn't leave us there. He doesn't cut us off immediately. We have the opportunity to gain forgiveness and refill ourselves. But both examples of salt and light, when not used in the way that they're intended, serve no purpose. But praise the Lord, He doesn't leave us hanging on a negative note. Not only does He give us an example of an ineffective CIA agent, He gives us an illustration of a powerful one. Verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house." Back in the old day, in the time of Christ, many of the houses would have been a one-bedroom house. They did not have electricity. So they would have a candlestick that they would be able to light, and it would be able to shine in the whole house. They'd be able to light up the whole building. As soon as that light would go out, there were no street lamps, as we have. There were no flashlights. Right next to your bed, you didn't have that ability. You just had that candlestick or a fire in the middle of the house. When we accept Jesus Christ in our hearts and obtain His free gift of salvation, there is a change inside of us that cannot be hidden. At the Cola Clash this summer, I had the wonderful opportunity to lead a young man to the Lord. And this young man was 13 years old, and he was sitting at the end. He was too nervous to go up at the invitation, and someone had brought him up to me after and said, "Would you speak with this young man?" And so I took him in the back room, and right away he knew where he was going. He knew he was on his way to hell. And it scared him, as it should. To know where you're spending an eternity in hell without that free gift of salvation. And he was like, "Jacob, I don't want to go there." I said, "Well," we took him through some passages of Scripture, and the young man accepted Christ in his heart, and immediately, the glow on his face. I was on cloud nine. Every time I've had the opportunity, it's not myself. It's as any youth leader or pastor, it's not ourselves that are able to bring someone to Christ. It's the power of the Word of God working in their heart. And the change is incredible. Do you remember the day you got saved? Do you? You should. The day you got saved, do you remember the energy that you had, the fire that built up inside you? Do you live that day to day? Do you wake up in the morning as I do? And many times, at 4:30 in the morning, when I wake up to go to work, it's not generally the first thing that just pops in your mind. It's an effort. It takes effort to think back to that. But do you allow that to carry through into your workday? Do you allow that to pass on to your coworkers? Do they see a difference in you? Are you that light in the darkness there? We are lights in a dark world. Are we shining the light that has been planted inside of us? Are we successfully communicating what God has intended us to communicate? We must always be aware of our actions because we never know who is watching. You never know when a little child is paying attention. They pay attention. They remember every single word that you say. I know with little siblings, you would say one thing, and there's no way they remember, and little Gabby comes up and says, "Oh, you said this, and I know you said that." Something simple as a hello with a smile on your face can make somebody's day. My youth pastor growing up always taught us that God has orchestrated these divine meetings. That throughout our day, there is set periods of time that God has placed key people in our lives for us to share that salt, for us to share that light. Are you cognitive of that? Are you conscious of your responsibility as a Christian? Are you thinking about as you go day to day, are you thinking about the opportunity that you have to change somebody's life just by a hello, just by that constant, "How are you?" and actually genuinely caring about them? God has orchestrated people to come across our paths, and it is up to us to carry the light of hope to them. A Christian that is an effective agent will not be able to hide, as Paul says, the hope that lieth in you. One example that's near and dear to my heart was a young man that went to school at my Christian school. We had our school, K through 12, was 32 people. I was the only one in my class. There was one gentleman above me. The high school, I believe, we had 13 people. And there was a kid who came to the school. His mom came in one day, and his name was Alan Hagen. My mom was the church and school secretary, so we were there at 7:30 in the morning if we made it on time. And so I had about an hour to kill, and so I would go in the gym, and I would shoot hoops, just shot after shot after shot. And my principal one day comes in and says, "Jacob, I'd like you to meet somebody," and his name was Alan Hagen. Alan had just moved to the area. He had come from a broken home. His mom had recently been divorced, so they moved there to get a fresh start. And he said, "Jacob, why don't you hang out with Alan while I take the mom around the school?" And so it became a habit kind of thing. Every morning he would get dropped off early, and he and I would shoot hoops. And after the first meeting or so, getting to know each other, I asked him, "You know, hey, Alan, if you were to die today, where would you spend eternity?" He's like, "I think I'd go to heaven." It's like, "What would you like to know? The Bible says that ye may know that ye have eternal life." And so we spent some time going through Scripture and breaking down different passages. And we had all school year to talk. And every morning, we would go and shoot hoops and talk a little bit. And I would ask him, "Hey, Alan, are you ready yet?" He said, no, I'm not ready." So for about a month, we kind of would spend the first part of our little session in the morning there talking about Scripture. And he finally said, "You know, Jacob, I'll do it when I'm ready." Alan spent one semester with us, and after that, I saw him one time. Saw him in a Walmart just down the street, and he had the most blue hair you could ever picture. And I had one more chance to ask him, "Hey, Alan, are you ready yet?" And he said, "I don't want that. That's not real." The reason why he had said that was because of several guys in our youth group who had chosen to not be lights to Alan. He said, "There's no difference in those guys at the school than me. Why would I want that? You've got it. I can see that you've got it, but why do I want that if they're just the same as me?" We all have an awesome opportunity. And it's a great responsibility to carry the light of the gospel to the dark and lowly world around us. They have no hope. When they wake up in the morning, they wake up to earn some money. They wake up to provide for their family if they've got one. They wake up to buy the car they can. And they don't have hope. As Christians in action, as a CIA agent, we try to push. We go to a nursing home on Wednesday nights, Wednesday afternoons, two Wednesdays a month. You should see those elderly folk, their faces light up. Just from a handshake. Just from these, and mainly it's the young ladies in our youth group that go, but when they take time to say hi and ask them how their day is going, and they get to sing, and they could sing, you know, no tune in a bucket, and they would still absolutely love them. That's what it means to be a CIA agent in our youth group. We take time to take our teenagers out and teach them, "Hey, you guys have a responsibility." And that should carry right over to us as adults. Are you taking the opportunities Christ has given you to share the light with the dark world around you? As a born-again believer, we have a wonderful opportunity to give a lost and dying world a glimpse of hope. We have a chance to let our lives be a walking testament to the incredible change that has occurred inside of us. There's a song that goes, "Once a man, blind from birth, nearly a beggar here on earth, until the Master made his blinded eyes to see. And when they questioned him about how his blinded eyes were open now, he said, 'All I know is I was blind, but now I see. All I know is my eyes were blinded, but then he touched me, and I've never been the same.'" Do you remember the day you got saved? We can't reiterate that enough. Are you carrying that passion, that day that you accepted Christ and your Savior, are you carrying that passion over to your day-to-day life? Or have you been as the salt and lost its savor? Or have you been as that light and hidden under a bushel? As we stated earlier, Christ doesn't cut us off. He doesn't end it as when we're ineffective. He gives us one, two, a dozen more chances. But are you cognitive of the chances that you're taking and the way that's going to carry over to those around you? What are you going to do? Are you going to spread the salt to the world? And are you going to shine as lights in a dark world? Or will you be an ineffective agent? Let's pray. Jesus.